just read right in the notes. We're just going to look at one verse. I meditated on this. Actually, I wrote this entire sermon 2 weeks ago and decided to preach it today before Mother's Day. Proverbs 22, verse 2. And I am preaching it as a form of a statement. So if you think I am making a statement, you would be correct. Verse 2. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. You have two very simple assertions. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The only thing you need to do is what we're going to do for the whole sermon is just ask the obvious question. When and where do the rich and the poor meet together? And I'm going to answer that. I could answer it numerically a little differently. I could go as high as 7 ideas or as few as probably 4 or so. But I'm going to do 6, I think. But it's very simple. By the way, a friend of mine memorized the whole sermon just by me stating the points. He'll probably preach it this morning. It's a very simple concept. But friend, we have, and it's not us, it's all countries, hatred, dislike, prejudice. And it's like sometimes I think, do Christians ever read the Bible? So this morning, we're not going to just talk about rich and poor. We're going to talk about white and black. We're going to talk about foreign-born and home-born. I, by the way, just so you all know, I had a terrible realization recently. And terrible is in quotations. It's a joke. Got it? My family's been in this. I'm American. You know, I don't have a choice. I am 6th generation in the state of Illinois. It dawned on me as I was seated up here, that means I have people that descend from my mother that are 10th generation in Illinois. Because my mother has great-great-grandchildren. 10 generations in this state. Or 9 at least. That's ridiculous. I go way back in this. Then it dawned on me, Rolando's family's been here a lot longer than mine. You say, how many generations? Nobody knows. But it's a lot more than 12, 13, or 14. By the way, friend, don't get too proud of yourself because, you know, you're a blue-blooded American. No, you're just a red-blooded human. I'm going to talk, and I made a mistake in the notes, the first line. I'm going to blame it on Frenchie, but he wasn't in the office when I did it. It's supposed to be a meeting place for all people. I didn't put for all people. Sorry. We're going to pray, and then we'll get started. By the way, simple sermon. I'm going to say some very profound things. And my goodness, the amount of hatred, racism, and the media that cannot speak the truth. Asians being brutalized in big cities by one group of people. You'll never hear it in the media. You just see the pictures. See, racism isn't one group's problem. Hatred's every group's problem. What I want to talk about this morning is the place where we all meet. A couple of them are beautiful. A couple of them I don't like. But we all meet there. So we're going to talk about those this morning. Father, thank you for this great text. Very simple text. A binary text. The rich, the poor. The white, the black. The people of color, I guess white people, or people of no color. Whatever groups we use and however we envision people, in some way, according to your word, we all meet together. And all we want to do is say, where in the world do we meet together? And what does that mean for us as Christians, for us as a church, and for us as citizens of this great land? Help us to hear. Surely we can hear simple ideas. Father, impress your word upon our souls this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. By the way, friends, we have so much hatred, I could not list the levels of hatred. But they're not unique to America. They're pretty much universal. Males and females. Males don't have an opinion today. Males have to be silent and women get to roar because women have been oppressed. By the way, everybody hates everybody. But here's our point. We're going to look at a meeting place for all people. And we're going to meet there. Look at me. Every one of these, with the exception of two, we're going to meet there. We don't have a choice. Two of them, I hope we meet there. Well, it was very early in my pastorate in St. Louis, probably the first 6 months. We were invited, my wife and I were invited to a meal with two of our deacons and their wives at a nice, very interesting restaurant. I don't remember the name. It might have been called the Barn. All I know is it was an old barn that had been gutted and built very uniquely. And I remember going. Sadly, it was closed down 5 minutes after we went there. We never got to go there twice, but we went there with it. And it was a huge old barn, very fancy kind of a barn. And they had gutted it and made it into a very interesting restaurant. But when you walked in, it was very different. There were like levels. There was like a level here, and then you walk down, there was another level, and then there was kind of in the center level or something like that. I can't remember exactly how many levels, but there were two or three or four levels of seating. Very open, very nice, good food. Well, Jenny and I went there to meet with our deacons, the two deacons of the church at that time, for a meal. We got there on time, maybe even a little bit early. They were already there. I talked to the waiter or the person up at the desk, and I said, you know, two couples. They said, we know who they are. So they took us down, and I remember walking down to the table. It's an experience you'll never forget. You walk down to the table. I'd only been at this church a few months. Here's the two deacons and their wives. The person, whoever, whatever his title was, man or woman, I think it was a man, took us to the table, and when we got there, he said to the two couples, is this your guest? And one of the deacons looked at me and at the waiter and said, I've never seen this man in my life. Now, for just a blink, you start to go into terror mode, panic mode, and the waiter goes, until the waiter realized he's joking. Because that was the meeting place. The word in Hebrew is used in many texts in the Old Testament, and it just means a place where people meet. That's it, where we meet. And it's used 14 times in the Old Testament of a place where people meet. Now, in your notes, again, I say this is very simple. The text makes two assertions. The first assertion is the rich and the poor meet together. Is that true? Is that the first assertion? And then the second assertion, and this is in my language, the Lord makes both of them. So, by the way, if someone is rich, I'm assuming God has something to do with that. And if someone's poor, I'm assuming God has something to do with that. How about you? Something. So it makes two assertions. The rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them both. Friends, all I'm going to do is ask a question. And if you're not used to thinking, I know sermons are supposed to be entertaining. They're not supposed to have thought. I'm just going to ask a question. The question is this. The question is, where and when do they meet together? Because frankly, I don't meet a lot of really, really, really rich people. I know there are rich people. And I know in my good friend, the American over here, said it in his prayer. Frankly, all of us in this room are rich. My goodness, you don't realize we're richer than kings in the past. Now, we don't have power. We might not have lands, but in the line of food and comfort, really? All the conveniences, medicine? Yeah, I think we're rich. But most of us, by the way, most people in this room think they're poor. That's what I find funny. We're actually rich. So the question is this. Where and when do they meet together? Or, to say it another way, where is that meeting place? Or if they're plural, which there are, where are those meeting places? So what I'm going to try to do is say, when and where do we meet together? The different groups, the tall and the short, the white and the black, the Jew and the Gentile, the rich and the poor, the good-looking and the not-so-good-looking. Where do they meet together? Number one, we meet together from creation. I cannot say anything any more simple. Friends, if you look around this room, we all come from a common source. Now, yes, I know something about DNA. Yes, I know something about Neanderthals. Yes, I've read probably 6 or 8 books in the last 5 years on DNA. And yes, evolutionists still aren't sure we came from the same place. You ought to be listening to that. Because if we're not from the same source, we got a problem. Some of us might be a little further evolved than others. Of course, I look around. Point number two will do away with your evolutionary theories, by the way. You'll drop those in the mud. I mean, they're evolving. Mm. Friends, according to the scripture, we meet together from creation. Look at the text. The text, that's the idea, I believe, in the second part. The rich and the poor meet together. When do they meet together? Well, they meet together because the Lord is the maker of them all. I mean, I'm sorry, there isn't one group out here that created themselves and another group God made. He made all of us. This is all through the scripture. Genesis 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. Look at me. Every single person descends from Adam and no exceptions. We all meet together in creation, no matter where you go. You say people are different there, wherever there is. Fine, but we all meet together in creation. Of course, you know this text, and I like this text. Pastor Koch dealt with this text in his material on abortion. It says, and God said, let us make humankind, in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So even the most binary difference, male and female, and by the way, you're either male or female. I know, you say, I've read all about, you can read whatever you want to read. But look at me in the eyes. If a male decides to become a female, he can still get prostate cancer. Because you can't change your biology. And if a woman decides to become a male, good luck, because you can still get breast cancer. Because you're a female. But by the way, the point of this text is, we are all created in God's image. Every single one of us. It's kind of beautiful, I think. Last time I checked, I kind of like it. The text, Acts 17. Now, friend, please look at me. I'm going to say something very profound, I hope. The Apostle Paul preached these truths. Look, every place. When Paul went to Greece, he didn't look at Greek people and think, I got to consult people because I don't know what you are. Are you human? Because everybody came from the same mom and dad, Adam and Eve. Everybody descends from there. We all share that in common. So when Paul is in not the most intellectual place on earth at that time, but one of the 2 or 3 or 4, Alexandria, Egypt was, Athens would have still had the remnant of it, Rome would have, there's a couple other cities. But friend, when he is in an intellectual place talking to people that considered themselves philosophers, Paul didn't say, well, you're a surprise. I'm not sure what to do with people from Greece. I'm Jewish. No, he started right back where the Bible begins in the beginning, with a God who created, and he created all peoples. Read with me, please. This is a verse that's worthy of just spending lots of time with. Paul declares the living God to the people, the Greeks, on the Areopagus or Mars Hill. And in verse 24 it says this, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He doesn't need a house. Verse 25, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. And he hath made ex henos haematos, out of one blood, all nations, every single ethnic group, pan ethnos anthropon, of every single human ethnic group, God created that. But he did it all out of one blood. Ex, out of, henos, one, haematos, we get hematology from it in the laboratory. Why? Because we all share human blood. Every one of us. Look at me. Paul declared that nearly 2,000 years ago to people that weren't Jewish, and he didn't have to say, wait a minute, I need to consult somebody because I don't know what to do with you Greek people. You're not the same as us Jewish people. Actually, there's only one people. People. And we all descend from the same place. You say, we look different. Can I say this to you? Thank God. Would you really like to see everybody looks the same? I'm very thankful when I look around and see a little difference. When I go to a place and everybody looks the same, this is the honest truth, I get nervous. I preach at several places where everybody's one group or the other, and it's just weird looking out there and everybody looks the same. I like difference. You say, why? God made it that way? Every single ethnic group on planet Earth, ethnos, every people group, God out of one blood made you. By the way, there's just human blood. There's only one kind. In your notes, these are obvious statements, friend. But I am going to get to something you never thought about, and that's where I want to go here. I say this, every individual is created. Secondly, created by God. Thirdly, created in God's image, the Imago Dei, which is that beautiful Latin phrase. I like it because it captures a whole lot of ideas. We're created in the image of God, which means lots of things. That means, yes, we have personality. Yes, we have intellect. But one thing it means is we can have relationship with God. It also means functionally that we can have dominion on this earth. We have relationships with people. But most important, he made us personal so we can have a relationship with him. That's every single person. So we're created. We're created by God. We're created in God's image. We're created from one couple. So, you know, we all go way, way back. If you can do enough greats, we all come back to we have the same great, 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 same one, same one. See, how can that be? Well, my friends, I think when God created us, look at me. I know I'm different than an evolutionist. I know that. As opposed to evolving into something better, I think Adam and Eve had the potential within their genetic code to create what you see. All of the diversity comes from them because God created them that way. So I don't think we're getting better. I think we're getting worse. Yes, but I want you to get all of this. We're created. We're created by God. We're created in God's image. By the way, that means the person you see at the store today that you don't want to say hi to, that person, look at me, is created in God's image. So when you're nasty and you spit at people and you cut people off and you do certain gestures to people, do you understand? You are doing that to someone created in God's image, and in some ways you're insulting the living God. We're created from one blood. We're created out of one couple. And we're all descended from Adam and Eve and then the descendants of Noah's family. That's the second bottleneck. The first bottleneck is Adam and Eve. Then you had a lot of people. And then you bottleneck back into Noah's sons and their wives and the descendants. We all come through there, friend. I have something in your notes that I think is, well, I had never tied it together. When Paul spoke in Athens on Mars Hill, he did not panic. I asked a question, why not? Look at me in the eyes. Because when Paul, look at me in the eyes, when Paul preached to Mars Hill, I have it one way in the notes. Don't worry about how I have it written. Paul was preaching what his home church believed and practiced. You know, he had a home church called what? Where was his home church? Antioch. What were the leadership of the church of Antioch like? You see, Paul didn't make things up. He believed, because it's taught in the Bible, we all come from one blood, human blood. We descend from Adam and Eve. That's the first bottleneck. And the second bottleneck is Noah's sons and daughters. And we descend out from there. And yes, once you spread people out where people don't intermarry, people start having differences. It's really that simple. It's genetic isolation. People start having differences. But friend, we all come from one blood. And when Paul preached and said, listen, out of one blood he created all of you, every different group, ethnic group, on all parts of the earth, he was simply preaching what he had seen practiced in his home church. Let's look at it, Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Here was the leadership of Antioch. Barnabas. Friends, I'm not going to quote the whole Bible for you. Barnabas was Jewish from the island of Cyprus. He was only a Greek-speaking Jew. He was from the island of Cyprus. He was of the tribal group of Levi. He was from the diaspora of the Jewish people. That was one of the pastors or leaders at Antioch. The next guy, I think the guy's name is Simeon. Is that correct? Simeon was called. I don't know exactly what that means. Was he called? But Niger, I do know what Niger means. In Greek, the word for black is melon or melanos. You know, what you talk about skin pigment. This word is not Greek, it's Latin. We have two countries in Africa, young, right above you, called Nigeria. It's just Latin for black. So do you understand, Paul's home church, one of the leaders, look at me, one of the pastors was a sub-Saharan African. So when he looked at the Greeks, he didn't say, what do I do with you? I'm getting nervous. His home church had people from every place. So he was kind of normally thinking, oh, he wasn't thinking, man, I'm going to go to this country and I don't know what I'm going to say to these people. His home church had a sub-Saharan African pastor. But that's not all they had. Well, let's look and see what they had. They have a guy named Lucius of Cyrene. By the way, Cyrene is not a word in the Bible that you skip over. Cyrene is the country right next to Egypt, modern-day Libya. So they not only had a pastor that was Jewish from the island of Cyprus, a Greek-speaking Jew from the diaspora, they also had a sub-Saharan African person that was called black. I'm not sure how they entitled it. You know, we're reading this through translation. They also had a guy that was North African. Today, those people that inhabit that area, which were inhabiting that area then, were Berber people. Hello? So when Paul looked at the Greeks, he didn't think, folks, can I say this? When I go to the Philippines, I don't say, well, I don't know about you. Maybe God didn't know about Filipinos. You know, when I've talked to Filipinos from all over the Philippines, we have them here. We have a Chinoy. There is a possibility God did not know about you, though. When the Lord sees someone that's an Ilocano, the Lord says, wow, no, that's part of the group. When the Lord sees someone from Pampanga, specific, now, there's two different kinds in our church. There's the good ones from Mexico, Pampanga, Jenny Lynn, and then there's Atong. Friends, do you understand the Lord's not saying, where did you come from? I have my genetics checked from both main groups, Ancestry.com and 23andMe. 23andMe is more detailed. I know that I have a little bit, unbelievably, of Berber blood. I have a little bit of Sudanese blood. Now, the other group says I have a lot of Swedish and Norwegian blood. I don't trust the ancestry because I don't want any Swede and Norwegian blood. That's just personal. That was specifically meant for one person in this room, and you guys don't know who. Let's read this passage together, would you? Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, by the way, if you want to know and you want to check, Acts chapter 4, 36 and 37 will tell you about him. And Simeon that was called Niger. So whoever Simeon was, he was a sub-Saharan African. Lucius of Cyrene, which he would have been a North African, probably or maybe of Berber descent. Manaen, which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. It's hard to know exactly what he would have been ethnically. Maybe Arab, you know, Arab today, maybe, I'm not sure. And then, of course, you have Saul or Paul, and we know he was Jewish. We know he was born in the province of Cilicia. We know he was born in the diaspora. According to Acts chapter 22, verse 3, he grew up in Jerusalem. Paul would have been different than, he would have been very different than the other guy. Why? Barnabas was Jewish from the diaspora that didn't speak Hebrew. Paul grew up in Jerusalem. He would have been Greek speaking. He would have been Hebrew reading and speaking. He would have been Aramaic speaking. By the way, folks, here's where the rich and the poor meet. Here's where everybody meets. We all meet from creation. Because from the very beginning into the very end, we all come from one, what? Blood. One human race. Just that simple. Number two. Now, I told you some of these are very nice and some of these aren't as nice. Number two, are you ready? We meet another place. We meet together in sin. You know, there's something I know about every group on planet Earth, no matter who they are. They're sinners. Every single one. By the way, when Paul preached the gospel and churches, wait a minute, here's our problem. Do you not know there are churches today, this morning, in this broad area, you can go to churches and hear racism, where one group is good and the other group is bad. In this church, you're going to hear that all men, I don't care what your ethnicity is, you and I were all born sinners. Can I have an amen? There are no exceptions. By the way, this is the one of the places that the rich and poor meet together. Everybody meets here. Doesn't make any difference who we are. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Oh, my goodness. I was here this morning. I was in my office. Amy brought up Jesse. He opened that door, and of course, he didn't really want to see me. He was excited to get to go into my office. He was giddy. You know, it's very difficult for me to admit that Jesse's going to be a sinner. Well, he is, but he's going to manifest it soon. Now, Amy tells me he does wrong. I don't believe her. Far as I'm concerned, Jesse, there was a sin line, and Jesse went around the sin line. You say, why is that? Because his mother went through that sin line twice. Friends, I already know. I love that guy. He is so much fun. And his little brother is becoming that kind of, you know, fun. And I get to go. Sometimes I go in the nursery a couple times and he just laughs when he sees me. Probably because I'm ugly, but, you know, I think it's good. But, friend, I already know something. Hear me. That grandson that I love, he meets together with you in sin. You and everybody else. And you know what I know he's going to do? And it breaks my heart to think, but I know it's going to happen. Where's it going to show up? Lying. Did you get into the refrigerator? Did you get into the chocolate? Yes or no? Are there exceptions? No. Let's read these verses. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I say in your notes, and by the way, this comes from a whole Sunday night sermon 2 months ago. I hope you listened. In some cultures, the rich are good. By the way, friends, in the Jewish culture in general, the apostles thought if you were rich, you were okay. There are cultures that think you're a good person if you're rich. And by the way, look at me. And if you're poor, that means you're a bad person. There are cultures like that. In America, because of Marxism, we flip that on its head. So in your notes, in other cultures, the poor are good. Actually, the basic characteristic of Marxism, socialism, is if you're poor, you're poor because somebody has stolen from you and abused you and oppressed you. You're a good person. Well, I'm sorry to offend everybody here this morning, but in the Bible, none are good. Poor or rich, white or black, foreign-born or American-born, we're all sinners. There are no exceptions. So as a Christian church, that's what we preach. We don't preach that our group is good. Wow. Why would we say things like that? Because we're biblically illiterate? Yes, we all meet together in sin. Every single one of us. So some cultures say the rich are good. Some cultures say the poor are good. Or we can flip it this way. Some cultures say white people are good and black people are bad. And some cultures say black people are good and white people are bad. But actually the Bible says all people are bad. There are no exceptions. We're all, by the way, we all meet together. There's something I know about you and you should know about me. Apart from the grace of God, I am a sinner and I'm going to pursue my sin every single day. I love my sin. What else would I love? No, even if it destroys me. As it is written, there is how many righteous? None righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. We have sinned both personally and in Adam. Yes, we are all sinners. Number three, here's the good news. We meet together at the cross and in Christ. And friend, here's what the beautiful thing is. I don't have to make anything up. This is, look at me, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, every single people group, I don't care where you're from, I don't care what your background is, I don't care how you got here, here's the thing I know for sure. We all meet together from creation and forward. We all meet together in sin, and we all meet together at the cross and in Christ. Those aren't exactly the same, but they are connected. We meet together at the cross. Why at the cross? Well, the text tells us, for God so loved the what? No, white people. Rich people. Good people. My friend, God so loved every single kind of person on earth. There are no exceptions of kinds of people. Yes, he loved the world. But that's not some he loved the world. It's, you know, those groups in the world. Because, hey, Rhoda back here, Rhoda, sometime I should have you give testimony to the love that Romanian and Hungarian Christians have for each other. But I'm not picking on Rhoda because this is common around the world. My group is good, your group is bad. Oh, no, 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 no. All groups are bad, your group and my group. Everyone's a sinner, but here's the beautiful thing. For God so loved even your group and my group and every other group. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, for us. By the way, we don't have to make this stuff up. It's in the Bible. Go ye therefore, it says in the Bible, and teach, meaning the initial teaching of the gospel. Make disciples of what? Just one group of people? No, 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 all groups of people, every ethnic group. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then after they get saved, after they accept the gospel, baptize them and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is no place you cannot go in this world because all of us are made in the image of God. So from creation, all peoples are connected. We're of one blood. Hey, everything in Christianity demands creation. Because in Romans 5, I don't want to do theology this morning because I want to make this simple for simple folks like me. What was lost in Adam is regained in Christ. But if there were more than one Adam, we got a problem. Everything goes back to Adam and Eve. and everything comes to Christ. And my friend, we are commanded to go to every people. There's not a people group you can't go to. Years ago, wow, it's been a long time, 5-6 years ago, when my mother fell and broke her neck. She had surgery. They put her into a rehab unit. One night, I was there alone. I don't know why I was there. Jenny wasn't with me. I'm sure I was staying with Rita. I went to see my mother. It was at nighttime, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. Walked down the hallway, heard a Filipina. So I greeted them in Tagalog. And she greeted me back in Tagalog. But her accent was different. And I looked at her, and I tried to figure out where she was from in the Philippines. And sometimes I can guess, and then sometimes I guess really badly wrong. And I said, where are you from? Which province? And she just looked at me and she said one word. Igarota. Robert? She's up there from where you guys are from. Yes? By the way, I have no problem talking to her. Do you know why? Because I know something. She's from one blood. She's born in sin. And the gospel goes to who? Every single group. No exceptions, friend. No exceptions. Acts 17:30. By the way, when Paul spoke to these people on Mars Hill, these Gentiles, these Greeks, this is what he said. At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all, not men, males, but all humans, everywhere to repent. Why? For whosoever. Friend, there is no group that you're outside of. There is no people that you're outside of. None at all. Revelation 22:17. I won't read it all, but the last line, and whosoever will. And by the way, if you want to come, come. Take of that water of life freely. Hey, friend, look at me. I believe this. There are meeting places for all people. Now, I've given you three so far. I'm going to give you the other half. From creation, in sin, at the cross. Yes? Everybody comes to the cross the same way. The love of God is spread the same way. The gospel is preached to all people. Missionaries are sent to all people. We recognize that most people don't get saved. But we preach the gospel to everybody, of course. But what about in Christ? Kind of, I'm going to ask you a question. Does being in Christ change things? By the way, I don't have this with everybody. I recognize that. May I say this? I don't have this with everybody in this room because there's a handful of people that are not in Christ in this room. And I do not have fellowship with you. I like you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're part of our church. I'm glad you attend here. But don't kid yourself. God knows. And sadly, I know. It becomes obvious because you never have fellowship. Something's missing. You can talk about the Cubs. They're losers. You can talk about the Bulls. They're losers. You can talk about the Bears. They have been losers since back in the 80s. Galatians chapter 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. So it's not whether you're Jewish or non-Jewish. It's not whether you're somehow enslaved or you're free. There is neither male nor female. It's not whether you're a man or a woman. He says, for you all one in Christ Jesus. We meet together at the cross and in Christ. Colossians 3:11. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision. And then Paul just gets carried away. He says barbarian. Those people outside the sophisticated cultured world of that day. By the way, Greek was the lingua franca. The common language. Today the lingua franca is English. In the past it was French, and that day it was Greek. If you were outside of that, you were kind of considered a barbarian. But there were worse people than barbarians. It's those people that lived in Russia. The steppes of Russia. The Scythians. You'd have to read Herodotus to understand how the Greek people thought of those folks. But friends, Paul is saying it makes no difference. Hey, whether your English is perfect, like my wife's, or whether your language, your English is imperfect, like mine, or you barely speak English. Look at me. God's just real happy because in Christ, we're all one, every one of us. I like it. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, Yes, friends, the Spirit of God baptizes us into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The same Spirit that indwells me indwells every believer. We're part of this one body. There are no exceptions to that. The last verse. I love it. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. All people, each and every kind of people, we go to every kind of people. There are no kind of people off limits. We preach the gospel to every kind of people. We command every kind of people everywhere to repent. We invite all people to Christ. And once you're in Christ, we are all one. Now, friend, I've told this story before, and I'm sorry. If I live here another 20, 30 years, you're going to hear it more. So you just get used to it. Now, for some of you that don't believe my stories and think I'm doing religious stories, I challenge you in Sunday school. I will re-challenge you now. Red Bridge Baptist Church. Got that? Red Bridge Baptist Church. You can see the pastor's testimony, Vic Borden. In the late fall of 1976, while I was in school in Bethesda Naval Hospitals where I was stationed, but I was going to George Washington, I got put into a barracks room with two guys. One of them was named Jerry Forgy, and one of them was named Vic Borden. Both of them were unsaved. Look at me. Both of them were pagan. And it was rough. You're a single guy. I'm, 19-ish, young, trying to do right. Some of you sailors know what it's like to do right. Some of you know how to hide. But I did right. I was out of the closet Christian since I was 18. But it was tough because these guys were pagans and you're in a little room. And cursing, you get used to cursing. Dirty jokes, they don't tell them to me. They tell them among themselves. You just push that out of your head. A friend, it was pretty rough in a little room on a Saturday or Friday night when they would roll in a big round table in a little room, put it right in the middle of the room, and from Friday night to Sunday night, they would drink, smoke pot, gamble, and look at porn. And you're trying to sleep and do other things. Yes, we didn't get along. We did not like each other. You say, were you one? Yes, one in sin. Because you get irritated. I still remember. It's my memory. It hadn't changed. He probably doesn't remember this. Actually, his memories are the same, but he emphasizes different things. But one day I was there on a Saturday. I still remember it. You walk in the room. There was a bed here. There was a bed here. And there was a bed here. This was mine. That was Vic's. And Jerry was over here. And over on this side was a desk because we were all in school. Vic was in OR tech school. I was in lab school. I don't know what Jerry was in. One Saturday I was studying. You ever hear of studying? I was studying. I was over, but I had not studied. I started reading the Bible that morning. I had my Thompson Chain Reference Bible. This dates me. I had it open on the desk. Vic walks in. Oh, he lit up a joint. For you that don't know what a joint was, a doobie. For you that don't know what a doobie is, I don't know what else you call them. Well, marijuana. He lit up a joint. He did this. He walks over to me. He said, would you like some? That's a fact. In May, by the way, did I tell you Red Bridge Baptist Church? I wish some of you would actually look it up. Look up the information on the pastor. He will tell you in May of 1977, Vic got saved at about 2 a.m. I can only tell you this, that text. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He went from being my worst enemy to being my best friend. He's been pastor in Red Bridge Baptist Church since dirt. He's been in the full-time ministry longer than me. Kansas City, Missouri, for all of you that are interested. He's not perfect. He likes the Kansas City Royals. And that's verboten for me. Can I ask you a question? Do you understand where we meet together? Here's where we meet together. We meet together from creation. We all come back from, we move forward. We meet together in sin. We meet together at the cross. And if you get saved, look at me, in Christ. If you're not saved here this morning, friend, we're begging you. But hear me, I already know something. Are you listening? You get a little uncomfortable around us because there's something missing. Well, of course. Because once you're saved, the Spirit of God indwells you. You're part of the same family. You're part of the same body. And from the very first day, we meet together. Well, number four. We meet together from creation. By the way, I'm doing this logically. In sin, at the cross, in Christ. Number four, we meet together under the law of Christ. We meet together under the law of Christ. And ultimately, under the rule of law. I want everyone to hear me. Lake County Baptist has people from all over the world. But I want you to be very clear about something. We do not make exceptions because of your ethnicity about how you behave. Because the same truth applies to every single group. The same Jesus that says, "Go, look at me, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature," or Matthew 28. "Go you therefore and teach all nations." Otherwise, teach the initial gospel, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then do what? And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The same one that said, go, reach people, baptize people, said you teach them exactly the same thing. I had a Filipino one time, my wife heard him say this. "We're not doing that because we're Filipinos." Well, you take your Filipino and stick it in the trash can. We're Christian here. It isn't about being an American, being white. It's about following Christ. And there's a lot of foolishness. Friend, there are no exceptions. We're glad you're here. I'm glad that we're from all over the world. But we all follow the same Christ. We don't do exceptions for your group, whatever your group is. Is that clear? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they," whoever they are, of whatever group, "they follow me." How about this? "If you love me," what? Well, but not if you're white. You don't have to keep those commandments, right? Right? And if you live in North Carolina, it's okay to raise tobacco because you make money, right? If you live in Vegas, it's okay to work in the gambling industry, right? No. Wherever you're from, whatever you look like, we are all under the law of Christ. All of us that are saved. Period. No exceptions, no special interest groups. Well, your group doesn't have to obey Christ. You say, is this a problem? It's a problem every place. And I'm going to bring it up, and I wish I didn't have to, but I'm going to. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So wherever we go, wherever we preach the gospel, wherever people get saved, wherever people are baptized and form local churches, they obey the same things. Jesus, the beautiful golden rule, "Therefore all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Of course, everybody knows one of my favorite verses. You honor, how many people do you honor? No, you just honor people that look like you, correct? Yes? When I got the privilege of extending my vacation in Evanston Hospital, I had given to me a great testimony. I didn't think of it that way. I try to be nice to people, regardless of who they are. Just so some of you, by the way, I think there's things that are immoral from the Bible. Look at me, please. My first night there was a young man. It broke my heart. He was a young man transitioning. Ex-corpsman, had been over, probably damaged from what he saw, came back, and now he thinks he's a girl. I want you to hear me. Are you listening? I think that's a lot of problems with that. How do you treat that person? like you treat everybody else, with respect and dignity. You don't look down. There was a guy there named Aaron, one of the nurses. I only had him one night. I had a lot of different nurses. And frankly, I cannot even imagine a group better. Every single nurse was excellent, and every worker. I only made one mistake. I wish I'd have written their names down. I knew all their names, but being in surgery and recovering from a major infection, my mind is in a fog, and I remember about four of their names. Great group. I met a lady from Jamaica. I wish that lady come here and visit. I love the lady to death. She was patient care tech, whatever they call them. Just beautiful lady. Loved her. Had great conversations with her. I had a lady came in one night, and the first thought when she walked in the door, I thought, oh my goodness, this is an ultra-Orthodox Jewish woman. My first words out of my mouth is, I said, ma'am, please don't let me do something that offends you. Because Jewish Orthodox women don't touch men. And vice versa. And she's a nurse. But Aaron, another Jewish guy. I had him, did everything he asked, very pleasant, had great conversation. He told the midnight nurse this. She came in and she says, boy, I'm happy to have you as my patient. I'm like, why? She said, Aaron just said this to me. He says, he's a great patient. Thank you. Meaning he was passing me off. Can I tell you something, friend? How do you treat people? Now, I'm going to read something. This is not religion. This is not make-believe. But it's got to be said. And I say the same thing about your group, too. I already have. I was rereading a book for Sunday school that I'm going to be teaching on Marxist theology. I was rereading it for the first time on Kindle. I have it in paperback. I bought it in Kindle because that's what I read from. I had read the book 10 or 15 years ago, and I was reading the book for two reasons. I wanted to make sure I hadn't misread or misunderstood the author. The author's name is James H. Cone. He was a professor at Union Theological Seminary, an extremely liberal seminary. He wrote a book called A Black Theology of Liberation. And in the book, he repeatedly called white people whitey, white boy, and honky. And I say to you, you do not use that language as a Christian. And if you do, I call you no Christian. And that goes for people calling blacks all the filth they call them, including little Billy Baptist. Don't you understand that the God Almighty has told you to honor all people? Do you not know that? Yes or no? Are you not under the law of Christ? Yes or no? If you are, you obey because you're a Christian. Our country is filled with filth. Here's the point, friend. We all meet together from creation. So when you look down on the person that's a different skin tone than you, you got a problem. They're human like you. They come from Adam and Eve like you. When you look down on people that are poorer than you or richer than you, what is wrong with us? My friend, we all, every group, meet together from creation, in sin, at the cross, if we're saved, in Christ, and we meet together under the law of Christ. Hear me, and I expect Christians to obey the law of Christ. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Yes, you have a different relationship with God's people. Fear God. That's the highest relationship of all. Honor those that are important, kings, presidents, governors, etc. But friend, the stuff I hear and see, look at me, the mouths of people that call themselves a pastor and a theologian calling white people honky, whitey, white boy in a book. Well, there's white racists too. And I can name them. And I've been around that filth. You say, what happens? By the way, I don't have any friends like that. Do you know why? They wouldn't be my friends. Well, we conclude the sermon. We're going to meet together. So everybody look at me. From my wife over here to Atong Balatong Pagong to Robert and Mercy, all the way around over here to my good friend Dada. Excuse me, my lonely friend Dada. May I say something to all of you? We meet together some other place. And as it is appointed unto men, once to die. And after this, what? Everybody look at me. By the way, I told you can memorize this entire sermon because it's logic. It starts at point A and it goes to point C. Here it is. We meet together from creation. In sin, at the cross, if we get saved, in Christ, under the law of Christ, if you're saved, if you're saved. But here's the problem. Are you all listening? We're all going to meet together in death. We're going to meet together in death and before whom? And look me in the eyes. Won't be any shifting. Won't be any slipping out. Won't be any. I had a kid in Bible that I used to tell him, you know, you don't check out of class, you never check in. You're not going to have that privilege before God. Have you ever read Revelation 20? It says, as if the entire world disappears. It's just you and God. So let's say this clearly. I don't know if everybody's saved in this room. But I know one thing. Regardless of your ethnicity, we have people of Hispanic descent, Filipinos, Africans. Normally we have Haitians. We have some Indian folks here. We have some dumb, ugly white people here. I don't care where you're from. Hey, you got a meeting coming. And you will keep that meeting. Rich, poor, won't help you a bit. You know what's funny? All the time when I check the news on my news feed from the dumb phone, they talk about this important person in Hollywood. You know how important people in Hollywood are to me? I don't even know their names. But this important person in Hollywood died, and I'm like, wonder how many normal people died. I wonder how many normal people are going to die. All of them except those who are caught up to be with the Lord in that day. Friend, these are our meeting places from creation in sin at the cross. If you're saved in Christ, and if you're saved under the law of Christ, and everybody, and as it is appointed unto men, wants to die. COVID has done something, even among Christians. Rip the Band-Aid off, and now you start seeing people living by fear. I read about a guy online that got the vaccine. He has not left his house for over a year. He got the vaccine. He still doesn't leave his house, and he's alone in his house with a mask on. Who you're protecting yourself from? The point being is what? Look at me. What's he protecting himself from? Let's be real. Death and God. My friend, look at me. You have an appointment. You won't escape either one. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm going to have Pastor Kwok and his wife come and sing. We have meeting places. We all meet there. We don't all meet in every one. We can meet in every one. And for Christians, we will meet in every one. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I'm not going to call down fear on everybody. This is just dead set reality. It's hard for me to imagine my friend Jerry Milburn's not with us. 3 months older than me, looked to be very good health. He's gone. And other people live 30 more years. Why? I don't know. But I do know this. All of us have an appointment. We're going to meet together in death, and we're going to meet together before God. We're all going there. We're coming from creation. We're coming from sin. Hopefully, we've come to the cross and been saved. Hopefully, we're in Christ and all that that means. Hopefully, we're under the law of Christ, but we're all going to meet a death. There are no exceptions. sooner or later. And judgment follows. And after this, the judgment for every believer and for every unbeliever. Father, may we be serious about this, because this is where we all meet. Bless our time together this day in Jesus' name.